I knew once the conference started I would probably not have time to look around. I would be too busy. As I walked around the hotel I began to see the name badges of people who were attending the conference, but I stayed to myself. Day quickly turned to night and I went back to my room to take my mind off the reason for my trip. Some TV would do the trick. Hashes will be an intense week, I thought. It was late when my roommate came walking in the door of the hotel room. She explained she had been on a trip to South America before the conference. We introduced ourselves and then had a great conversation before falling asleep. I was happy Vanessa seemed normal. There was a real possibility she may have been one of those over-the-top, way-out-the types. You never know who will show up to these things. Unfortunately, there are some really crazy people that are always in the crowd. I woke early the next day and went to meet with Larry. Over breakfast I shared with him my story and he was a gracious, patient listener. It was time for the first speaker and I knew he wanted to go but as we reached the scheduled time he said not to be concerned, he wanted to hear the whole story. It had been a long time since I shared my story in such detail. It was a wonderful release and I thanked him for listening. Our conversation was an excellent beginning for my time at the conference. It helped me to remain balanced and calm for the rest of my time there. After we shared our stories with each other, it was time to go to the conference. Before we left, Larry told me there were some people at the hotel that he thought I should meet. He spoke about them briefly and said I should probably just meet them myself. I felt connected to these people, already, from the little Larry told me as he spoke highly of them. I met with the group, one at a time, throughout the next few days. They had traveled from New York to be at the conference. I connected with a number of them in a way that was comforting and beautiful. Two of the members opened up me in an affectionate way. It seemed they both had received clear messages that they were to travel to this event and that they would meet someone there. Rhonda, the woman, was clearly moved by our meeting. She knew it was me whom she was supposed to meet as soon as we began to talk. She was deeply touched by our initial conversation and I was grateful she was there so we could indeed make contact with each other. There was a second member of the group, Dean, with whom I had a similar conversation. He told me that he too had received a message that he should be at this event to meet someone. He felt it was me as we began to talk. I told him that I was happy he had come and maybe we were meant to meet. He was an exceptional person who showed an understanding of this world that many people never achieve. He was very spiritual and his demeanor was as gentle as a butterfly. Both Dean and Rhonda were beautiful people with whom I could see the aliens had had a positive effect. They were strong in themselves and in their beliefs. It was refreshing to talk with them and know that they were comfortable with the knowledge they held within. So often people feel the need to search through books or anywhere they can to find answers. Dean and Rhonda knew a very important secret: true knowledge comes from within. Books can only guide us until we find that place within that releases the information we truly seek. Everything we search for is there. The more people I met, the more comfortable I became and I remembered why I loved the conference in 1991. It was a short break of the daily ritual of hiding my true self from the world. The people who attend these gatherings freely talk about their experiences and beliefs without fear of ridicule. I was happy to let go of the feeling that I had to guard myself from those who would judge me. It's easier to say someone is crazy than question the possibility that aliens do exist. I could see that since I was last involved with any UFO people, there had been a lot of knowledge sharing as well as spiritual growth that had taken place. I was happy to see and hear that the understanding of who the ETs were had expanded. The speakers at the conference were more informed and the people attending represented a wonderful cross-section of society. Doctors, teachers, mothers and working class people, they were from all walks of life. It was obvious to me how hard everyone had worked to educate people on alien existence. I knew I could have been a part of that group, but the time hadn't been right for me to begin speaking about my experiences before now. Most of the speakers were researchers, with the exception of a few experiencers. Time for speaking had been set aside for contactees, abductees who were at the conference as guests. If they chose to, they could share some of their experiences with the public. Still, it was only a beginning. Raising mass consciousness is a slow process. As the days passed, I thought more and more about my friends, the aliens, whom I call #caretakers. Halfway through the conference, I sat in my room, contemplating them. The people who attend these events work hard to teach the general public about aliens. I sat quietly and cleared my mind. As I went into a meditative state, I asked the aliens to show themselves to this group. The people at the conference had done so much to get the ETs' messages out to the public. The people deserved to know that the aliens were grateful and supportive. As I opened my eyes, I thanked them for showing me that they support me. I did a similar meditation just before I had left Vancouver to come to the conference. If there was one thing I had learned over the years, it was that nothing is impossible. All I can do is ask and hope to get an answer one day. After I got up from the bed, I let the thought go and began to refocus on the rest of the day. When I went back downstairs, the conference was in full swing. There were people mingling in every corner, having conversations with old friends and new acquaintances, clearly one of the reasons people attended this event year after year. I had seen Adam, the conference coordinator, a number of times since I arrived, but he always seemed too busy to talk. I then saw him looking relaxed and in casual conversation, so I took advantage of the moment and introduced myself. We had a brief, but friendly, conversation and shared with him an idea that I had been pondering. I thought that a guided meditation with everyone could do a great deal to strengthen the flow of positive energy. He said he thought that was a good idea and asked me to write it out as a proposal so that he could bring it to the conference council. When he asked who I thought should lead this meditation if the council agreed, I told him I thought the guide wasn't as important as the meditation itself. My brief conversation with Adam came to an end. He had to run off, so I thanked him for his time and told him I was glad to have had the opportunity to meet him in person. I went straight back up to my room to write out the meditation proposal. I made it as brief as possible so they could see the simplicity of this important act in bringing people closer together. And at evening, there was a dinner for everyone who attended the conference. It was a fun night that gave everyone the opportunity to relax in conversations and enjoyed the company of the group. I saw Adam again and presented him with my handwritten idea. I could tell he thought it was good, but it had to be approved by everyone who ran the conference. He told me he would let me know what they thought in a few days. I thanked him for his time and went back to my table. The rest of the evening was interesting as I took the opportunity to observe the attendees. The diversity of the group never ceased to amaze me. I must admit that I could see there were a few people that were not all there. These people are in every sector of society, so it's only reasonable to expect their presence in this group as well. Sadly, it's these people that are often the ones who get the most attention from critics of UFOs and aliens. The days of the conference passed quickly and I felt like I never wanted to leave. I thought about the day I would go back to Hopi and wondered how many of these people would be there with me in the future. Many people at this conference have a knowledge that makes many other people afraid. They fear what it is they do not know or understand. And his fear is manifested in the ridicule we all have to endure as abductees and contactees. At the conference, for a brief time at least, we, as a group, can be ourselves. The last day of the conference arrived. I knew that most of the people I had been spending time with wanted to see the speakers that day, but I had no interest, so I headed for the pool. After all, I needed to get some color on my white skin. I didn't want to miss out on my last chance for a little sun before going home. When I arrived, I didn't notice any conference attendees at poolside. There were a lot of young people splashing around, having fun in the water, so I walked over to the corner of the pool deck where it was a little quieter. The sun was strong and it was very hot. I got a chair and laid down to soak in the sunshine. My thoughts were on the past week's events and all the people I had met. I thought about what tales I would tell my employers when I got back home about my trip. What could I share that wouldn't give away what I was really doing on this vacation? My heart felt heavy from just thinking about it. I didn't like having to hide. The hours of the afternoon trickled away as I got hotter and hotter. To cool off, I went for a dip. After the short swim, I felt great and I went back to lie on my pool chair. It wasn't too long, however, before I was tossing and turning in the heat. The sun was almost too much to handle and it was extremely bright. Every time I would begin to think of leaving, I would have the strong feeling that I should stay for just a short time longer. It was difficult to open my eyes for any length of time at all because the sun was so strong. Even with my sunglasses on and looking in the opposite direction of the sun, it was still exceptionally hard to keep my eyes open longer than a moment or two. It was strange that it was so blinding. I turned over onto my back once again, trying very hard to get some sun on my face. It was difficult because of the glare. From out of nowhere, I heard a voice, very loud and clear in my head, "Pay attention to the sky, we are coming out." I knew right away that it was the aliens. The voice was the same one I always heard when they communicated with me. I sat up on the chair and put my sunglasses on. It was so bright I could barely look up, even with the glasses on. I had to put both my hands up in front of me to try and block the sun so I could see in front of me. I looked and looked, "Where are you?" I thought. There was no reply. And then, to the right of my hand, I saw something that looked like a ball floating in the sky. It was traveling in a straight line at a consistent speed. Behind it was a second ball. I looked around the pool deck to see if anyone from the conference was there. I wanted to yell out to the people at the pool, but I was sure they would then zip off and I would look like a fool. I watched the round orbs drift slowly past, staying in perfect formation to one another. "Why is no one here to see this?" I thought. "What is the point if no one else is here?" And then I wondered if this display was because I asked them to show themselves during this conference. "Thank you," I said. And then I thought, "No one will believe me." I then heard the voice again, this time calmer and quieter, "Reply, take a picture." I had forgotten that my camera was beside me. I quickly took it out and snapped two pictures. By the time I did this, the round orbs were behind the hotel, no longer visible. I jumped up with my camera in hand, taking a closer look around the pool deck to see if I could see anyone from the conference. Across the pool was a man I had seen attending some of the lectures. I began to walk over to him because I had a feeling the display wasn't over. As I scanned the sky, I spotted them on the opposite side of the hotel. I picked up my speed to reach the man before they were out of sight again. "Someone needs to see this with me," I thought. "You're with the conference, right?" I didn't wait for a reply. "Get up, quick. You have to see this. Get up, get up." He stood up, somewhat confused, as I pointed frantically at three of the orbs floating by. "Look," he jumped up and couldn't believe what he was seeing. In the sky were three more orbs, shaped differently than the baseball-like orbs of a few minutes before. Rather, these were what I call star orbs. They looked exactly like stars, remaining in perfect formation to each other as they drifted past at the same height as the others that had gone past on the other side. I ran out of the gated pool area to see if I could get some more pictures. I only managed to get one before they disappeared behind the hotel. When I returned to the man, I found he was very excited and couldn't believe what we were witness to. In between our comments of shock, he introduced himself as George. The two of us stood at the pool, scanning the sky for any more signs of them, amazed at what we had just witnessed. I was exceptionally excited, recalling how I asked them to show themselves at this conference. Once again, my head twisted in all directions. Could they really have come because I asked? Why was that so hard for me to believe? After all I had experienced up to that point, I smiled and thanked them in my mind for coming out. I was eager to share this experience with people at the conference, so I said goodbye to George and told him I would see him later at the closing dinner. I walked away from the pool with a great deal of satisfaction and excitement and went straight to the conference area to look for all of my new friends. I found a small group of them standing in the lobby area. I walked over to them and began to tell them about what had just happened. One of the people I first told was Adam's wife. She strongly encouraged me to go and tell her husband. I felt like screaming. I was so excited. I wanted to share this news with the entire world. The group met the news that the ETs had displayed themselves to us all with excited chatter. What a wonderful gift. I went into the room where the exhibitors' tables were and found Adam just where his wife said he would be. Something very exciting has just happened. When I relayed the story to him, I included how, before I left Vancouver and once again in the middle of the conference, I asked the aliens to show themselves to this group. I could clearly see he was touched by this event as much as I was. He asked if I had a digital camera so he could see the pictures. Sadly, I had to tell him that I didn't. I felt awful that I couldn't remember the name of the man by the pool either. When Adam asked me his name, I couldn't tell him because I had forgotten it in all the excitement. I told him I would recognize him though, and when I saw him again I would have him speak to him as well. From his inside jacket pockets, Adam pulled out my proposal for the guided group meditation. He asked me if I would like to do it that night, as well as tell my story of the orbs at the pool. As he said this, I realized that this was my reason for being there. Adam told me he would have to get final approval from the Congress Council and would confirm with me that night if it would happen or not, but he told me to make sure I came prepared. After talking with a few other people who were wandering the lobby and exhibitor area, I went back up to my room. I needed to get changed from my pool clothing. I was half changed when a strong urge came over me to go to my car and drive. "Now what?" I thought. "Okay," I said out loud. "You want me to go somewhere, I'll go." I quickly left the room and headed straight for my car. Once in the car, I took a deep breath. Where was I going? What was I doing? "Follow your spirit, Miriam," went through my mind. I pulled out of the parking lot and onto the main road. "Where to now?" I asked in my mind. "Turn right. Lead me to where you want me," I thought. After only a short time, I was out on one of the highways and driving out of Lachlan. I didn't want to take a drive out into the middle of nowhere and said out loud, "Look, I don't want to drive far. Can't you just do whatever it is you want to do closer to town?" It was only a few minutes before I found myself pulling off the highway onto a dirt road. After a few hundred feet, I stopped the car. I got out and began to look around. "Now what am I doing here?" I didn't see anything and asked, "What is the point of me being here?" In my head I heard, "Take a picture." "Of what?" I asked. I couldn't see anything at all. There was a small ridge in the distance, so I looked carefully to see if maybe something was hiding along the rim. I saw nothing. Once again I heard the booming voice in my head, "It will be on the film." "Okay, okay," I thought. I got the camera from the car seat and snapped two pictures, unsure of what might end up on the film. I guess I would find out when I got them developed. Perhaps I imagined the whole thing. I knew that my sanity would either be questioned or confirmed after I had the pictures in my hands. Despite a strong feeling that they wanted me to stay where I was, I left for the hotel. It was late afternoon and I needed to rest before getting dressed for the closing dinner that evening. As I drove back to the hotel, my thoughts turned to the possibility that I may have to speak in front of hundreds of conference attendees. I was nervous at the prospect. I had to do a good job, it was important. I knew that these revelations had taken place for me, but also for the people at the conference. My role in this cosmic plan was finally beginning to surface. The time was now for it to slowly unfold. Back in the room, I spoke with Vanessa about the afternoon's events. She asked me if I thought these orbs could be the work of the government, and it was a great concern for her. I knew that there were probably orbs operated by the government, but my memory of seeing them as a child made me conclude that they more than likely primarily belonged to the aliens. Vanessa and I decided we needed a short nap before dinner. When we woke, we quickly dressed for the evening. When we got to the banquet room, There were already plenty of people seated at the big round tables. I found the group of New Yorkers, and asked if we could sit with them. They had plenty of room for both of us and we shared their table. It didn't take long for the room to fill with attendees. Short conversations erupted as people moved about the room. It was our last night together and I could feel the buzz of everyone trying to get in their last words as they exchanged ideas and addresses. Once we were completely settled into our seats, I scanned the room for Adam. I had to ask him what the others had decided about the meditation, as well as if I could share the incidents of the orbs with the other guests. I spotted him across the room and went over to talk with him. He told me I could speak about that afternoon but said the Congress wanted me to go up with the other man that was at the pool. I still didn't see him but I told Adam I was sure he would show up at some point. I was told I would only have 6 minutes to tell the story and do the meditation, not a lot of time, but I was grateful for every second given to me. I felt silly that I still couldn't remember his name. I had been focused on the orbs, not the person. A short time later, Adam made some announcements to the audience and then introduced me. I was nervous but took a breath and knew I would be just fine. All I had to do was tell the story and try not to overthink. After a quick, guided meditation, I relayed how I had gone to the pool and saw the orbs, how I heard the aliens tell me they were coming out and that there was a man who witnessed them as well. Unfortunately, I said, I hadn't seen him yet, but as soon as I did he would come up and share his story with them. Having the limited time made me more nervous than usual, but I thought I did rather well all things considered. As I stood up on that podium telling my story to the crowd, I couldn't help but feel proud that I heard the aliens tell me to watch for them. If I hadn't listened and looked up, they wouldn't have been able to show us that they were there for us. The 6 minutes went by fast and I could feel Adam standing behind me, telling me to wrap it up. I assured the crowd that once the man who was at the pool with me arrived we would be letting them know so he could speak also. I walked off the stage and back to my table. On my way a lot of people thanked me for telling them about the experience. I was relieved it was done. Once I sat down, dinner was announced and slowly, table by table, we all went to the buffet for our meals. The evening was well on its way and there was still no sign of the pool man. I was getting nervous and upset because he didn't seem to be there. I had seen him all week, so where had he gone? I was beginning to wonder if people would think I was making it all up. Everyone asked if they could see the pictures. Unfortunately, I couldn't produce those either, as they were undeveloped. It was a long time after my speech when, finally, I saw the pool man, standing near the entrance to the ballroom. I walked over to him and explained that Adam requested he tell the crowd about that afternoon. He told me he couldn't do it. He said he was so shy that just talking with me was hard for him, let alone a group of people. Upset, I went to inform Adam. I wanted him to know that the man had arrived but that he wouldn't talk to the group. I was embarrassed and felt as though I was letting everyone down. Adam told me to try and talk him into it. It was important to tell the people at the conference what had happened. Even though I tried to explain this to the man, he still refused. I convinced him to at least tell Adam himself so I wouldn't look like I was lying about the whole incident. As George and I walked towards Adam, he then looked at the man and said, "It was you, George?" Apparently George had been to every conference except the first, so they knew each other. It took some really sweet talk but we finally convinced George to speak to the crowd. We walked up to the stage together, shaking, arm in arm. George told everyone how I came running over to him at the pool, and how he stood up somewhat confused and then saw the orbs floating by. There was a gasp that came from the audience. They clapped and hooted and hollered. It was amazing. We walked off stage together, both of us glad it was all over. After that we were the belles of the ball. I sat at my table with all my new friends and, as people walked past, they would stop to thank me for sharing my experience. The evening was just about over and it was only a matter of hours before it was time for me to leave. I had to drive back to Vegas that night as my flight was leaving in less than 12 hours. My bags were packed in my room and ready to go. I initially decided to leave at 4 in the morning to get to Vegas on time for my flight. As the night went on, I realized that trying to sleep for a couple of hours would make me even more tired. I wanted to spend as much time as possible with everyone before I had to leave, so I decided to leave at 2 o'clock a.m. instead. After dinner was over, there were small gatherings everywhere in the hotel. People were having parties and I was invited to a couple of them. Vanessa and another girl whom I had connected, Melanie, decided to check out one of the gatherings together. In the dining room I watched as pens came out and people got last-minute email addresses of new friends. I was sad that I would have to go home again. Why couldn't the world be filled with more people like these? I thought. As we gathered our things and said our goodbyes to the New Yorkers, I had to hold back my tears. It felt like leaving old friends after a short visit. It was difficult. The three of us then left the ballroom and headed to the hotel room party. We found what was, most certainly, an interesting group of people. The conversations in the room turned to topics like ESP and levitation. As I sat and listened, I couldn't help but ask myself, how did I arrive at this place in life? My life was so different. I was so profoundly aware of things that the average person would have difficulty hearing, let alone accepting. Conspiracy theories, government cover-ups, military involvements. There I sat in a room filled with psychics, ex-military officers, scientists, radio hosts, everyday people and me. What a combination. Vanessa, Melanie and I talked for a while before going down to the lounge to see if anyone was gathering there. As we went downstairs in the elevator, the feeling I had been having all day kicked into full gear. I knew that on my way home I would see them. I told Melanie about this feeling and she assured me that I would be just fine. I think she thought that after the conference my imagination was maybe getting the better of me. I knew that I would be all right, but the feeling was strong and I had no doubt I would be seeing them. I wasn't sure, however, if I would only see them or if they would be taking me. It was one of the two. It was only a matter of time before I found out which. When we got to the lounge we ran into a couple of the New Yorkers. It was close to 2 in the morning and I knew that I had to get on the road. I looked around at this small group and wondered when I would see them again, if ever. The closeness with kindred spirits is undeniable. The bonds I made with them would be with me forever in the same way I still have strong emotions about the very first people I ever met that had ET experiences. As much as I wanted to, I couldn't stay. I told them all that it was time for me to leave. I hugged everyone, tearing up as I walked away. I didn't turn around because I knew I would break down. The front desk brought my car to the door and helped me with my bags. My sadness was a sweet sorrow. I had made new friends and felt at peace for a week. Now it was time to turn my thoughts to the world I was returning to. Lachlan lights were in my rearview mirror in no time at all. Usually I loved the feeling of being behind the wheel of a car, but not this time. I didn't like to drive at night and with the feelings I was having about seeing my alien friends I had no idea what to expect. Several cars passed me since I wasn't driving fast. I'm not a speed junkie and usually go the speed limit. At night I tend to be even more cautious. After only about 15-20 minutes of being on the road, a vehicle came up behind me. I wanted them to pass, so I slowed down. Even at the slow speed they didn't pass. It was jet black out and no one was on the road except the two of us. I wondered if maybe they didn't feel comfortable passing, so I waited until a passing lane came up, all the time watching them in my mirror. They still didn't pass with a clear passing lane. I slowed even more until it was painfully evident that I was being followed. I shook my head and thought to myself, how stupid do they think I am? I slowed again. Still, they stayed behind me. I slowed to 20 miles an hour, on the highway, and then pulled the car over to the shoulder of the road. They had to pass now. I gave them no choice unless they wanted to stop with me. Finally, the vehicle pulled parallel to me and slowly drove ahead. The white van had a license plate that read USCIF. I yelled a few choice words at them as they passed. And then I stopped the car and waited for them to round the corner out of sight before I began to drive again. The rest of the trip to Vegas was strange. I knew the road looked different in the dark, yet I still felt out of place.